Is it right you do a whole podcast about keeping up appearances?
Yes.
Wow. All about keeping up appearances.
It's niche.
Yeah, listen, people love niche.
People love niche and people love keeping up appearances.
There you go.
You recovered from Sunday? What day was it?
Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah, just about, yeah.
How was your night out?
Yeah, it was good, yeah. We just like met in the pub in Hyde. Like, we always go after every match, so it's like quite a few there, and most of us went into town. And yeah, I tried to stick about for the fight, but it was stupid and end up going just as the fight was starting, pretty much, so missed it all, so...
We're in beer teller.
How do you know?
You put it in the group.
You said. I was gonna respond saying that sounds like absolute hell watching boxing in there, but
well, we saw it, you missed it. One of the lads sort of he was like saying, "Oh, I'll get us into beer keller," and I didn't think you'd have to get us into beer keller because it's absolutely massive. But like as we were walking through. Like the woman was like about to stop us saying no, and she like sort of seen him, was like, "Oh, come straight through," and like took us like to this little like the little room. And as I say, there was all these like YouTubers in there, and like, the only one I recognised was a pie face.
But they were calling you that, weren't they?
That's what I mean. It had the thing on the seat. I just went and sat straight down on it. But
were they all there from that game?
Well, there was a few of them, but I didn't. I mean, I'm not sure I'd have recognised many of them. I'd always say Pie Face stood up to sing the national anthem though, so.
Al's a fan then.
Oh, well. We'll be in the beer colour in Coventry in a couple of weeks with the rest of the lads.
So, welcome to the last episode of the first ever season of Keeping Up Appearances. We have got a slightly different episode lined up today. We are going to look back through our predictions that we made at the beginning of the season, have a little chat about them, then we will do our season review, look at what we've made of the season and some of our players that have stood out and some of the teams that have overachieved and underachieved. We will then have our Maroon 5, which Tosh will open up the topic for that, so I'll leave him to do that for you. And then yeah, we'll finish with our game keeping up appearances, and then we'll leave you to have a summer of maybe not having to listen to us. But we will start with our prediction review. So then we will start off with the top four predictions that each of us made before the season started. Myself, I went City winning, Arsenal second, double tick. I then went Chelsea and United in third and fourth, which didn't quite end up as you would have hoped. A lot of us did have United in the top four, though. But I think Bob should take it away with his shout of Aston Villa finishing fourth. Bob, what was your inspiration?
I really can't remember, to be honest.
Content.
I reckon it was Bob. I'm looking at Bob's top four, and I reckon it was just the fact that he didn't want to put Liverpool in there, which gave him an absolutely unbelievable shout.
Yeah, that Tosh has probably absolutely nailed it there. I don't know. I think I've always been had a bit of a soft spot for Unai Emery, mainly because he's a bit of a comedy character, and what an appointment that's turned out to be. So, they had a good season the season before and seemed to strengthen in the right area. So, guessing that's why I said Villa.
There's one hell of a shout.
It is a great shout.
Can I make a suggestion? For what? Everyone, can we decide, just so we all know once and for all, who's had the biggest stinker? Just because I'm looking at it and Callum's had the biggest stinker here, so I just want to...
I think yours is the best, I think, to be fair. Well, you got the most correct in order.
Nah, I disagree.
Ah, you're right. You're right, Carl did. Nice one.
No.
I think you disagree, he did.
No. Not from what I'm saying. No, I think Bob's is the best. I think the Aston Villa put in there is a great shout.
No, it isn't. That's what all the people are doing.
No, they weren't. No, it wasn't.
Oh, come
on. It wasn't. And you're going to put the Farage clip in. You were all laughing at me.
Yeah, I think
because you did laugh at me.
No. We only laughed at you because you put it in, and then you got beat like 5-1 on the opening day. Then we laughed at you. But at the start, we were like, "Yeah, Villa are looking quite good." No one will ever know though, because that episode didn't record.
Yeah, no, I think it was always seemed a good. I actually think Bob takes that one just because I think the Villa. I think the others are pretty easy.
Well, you didn't get it.
Yeah, because everyone was just saying Man City. I still think I was right putting Arsenal first.
You actually couldn't have been more wrong.
I actually could have. No, absolutely not. Again, the likes of Arsenal, what Arsenal showed was everyone was writing off Arsenal. They pretty much won it, in my opinion. So I'm giving myself a big tick for that one. And then United, I agree. I think three of us had United in there just by the thought that obviously we were there and they were going to be better. They were going to maybe improve or certainly not go as bad as they did. So I think we can all take the hit for United. So I think the fact we've all got United. Well, in fact, has everyone got United? Oh, every single player. I was thinking Bob didn't, but he has. He's got United above Villa. So we thought United to finish above Villa. Actually, pretty embarrassing, Bob.
Again, yeah. I just didn't want to put Liverpool in there. So
yeah, I had Liverpool in there. I thought City would drop, and I was wrong about that. I still think City. I still think Arsenal have been the best team this year. I think Arsenal deserve to win the league.
Yeah. So you
if
you
think that was the question? It. You were the woman.
Yeah, the people's champions. What you're thinking, isn't it?
No, I think usually the best team deserves to win the league, but I actually don't think they did this year, so I'm giving myself some points. I'm going to go Bob first, me second, Sean third, Callum fourth on that one.
Fine with me.
I didn't say anything about points. I don't know why you're giving points.
Add four more to Bob's top at the top of the leaderboard. He's just extended it. Yeah.
He's given points, but he also said Arsenal won the league, Sean, so I think he's just playing by his own rules, to be honest.
No, everyone could have picked City. City was, yeah, that's like boring.
Yeah. Imagine picking it and getting
it right. No. Me and Sean only had the only two to have Liverpool on the top four as well.
Raft.
Me and Sean, Niv.
Right, so we'll swiftly move on from top four to see what Tosh has got to argue for his case for surprise team. So how much did Tottenham surprise you, Tosh?
Well, again, I actually do think I've won this one. Just looking at the other ones, really. I think Tottenham, we can't really remember, but I actually do remember making my point for Tottenham which was the point of the fact Andrew was coming and I said they'd play some good football. I didn't put them in my top four. I wasn't expecting to go top four. I thought there might have been an outside chance. But what they did was they did play some great football. They were involved in great matches, which after Conte and after Mourinho and people like that, I think that was a surprise. The start of the season, something was a record number of points for Tottenham after 10 games or something. They'd won 8 games or something like that. So I think that was a decent shout. That's one of the... I haven't got much to shout about on these lists, but I actually think that's quite a good shout, actually.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a fair enough shout. I think possibly we'll talk about it later with our season review, but they maybe didn't do as well as we thought they were going to do by the end of it. I mean, they were going to be like challenging for the league, wasn't it, after that first little period? And that would have been a surprise. But then they've kind of...
They were even saying about challenging for the league.
Yeah, good point.
But again, it's one of them. Someone made the point, I'm not going to pretend it's mine. You're like, sort of like, Chelsea had an unbelievable brilliant end to the season, didn't they? Whereas Tottenham had a brilliant start. You know, it sort of makes you look at things slightly differently. Whereas I think Tottenham had that spell where they, like, Van de Ven got injured and they had no defenders and they lost a lot of games. The reality is they ended up 1 point finishing off the top four. That Sun miss, where if Sun takes that chance last week, they end up in the top four. So I think they've had a very good season, playing some great football and great Tottenham. All the Tottenham games I watched were great games.
They lost three of the defenders in one game, wasn't it?
What's that, sorry?
They lost three of the defenders in one game.
They had that mad Chelsea game, wasn't it? Yeah, it's like...
Yeah.
I'd say that would have been an absolute guarantee to have won that round if it wasn't for the way the season ended.
The asterisk at the end. I think, to be honest, Sean's is not... It's the way it's ended. I think Sean's doesn't look like a bad
shot.
I'm going to refute this one. That's the biggest fluke of all time, that one. Palace were nearly getting relegated. You can't tell me, Sean, if you're going to try and come on and say this is what you thought was going to happen. They're going to sign some fella that we've still not heard of.
Honestly, do you know if we could go back to that episode that did record? I think I said they're going to get rid of Roy, get in this mad manager, and they're going to finally live up to the potential. I did.
Fair place, yeah.
And you'll see it all in the final few weeks.
I reckon
I thought say Mathek is going to hit form in the last few weeks.
Yeah, honestly, I knew they had potential. They've got the squad there. I said it all along, and then, it just took a while. I think I'm the anti Tottenham. We, as if I have any affiliation to Palace.
Callum, do you know Callum?
So I have to fight.
That is true. Yeah, it's just the opposite of Tottenham, isn't it? Starting slow, and then towards the end of the season, everything just fell into place. So, as much
the exact same as what they did last year under the end of the season, though.
Even though now I'll take the fact that mine looks an all right shout, I will also give you that it's a massive fluke. So, I don't need to get the most points. I just need to, even though Callum's been on my side, can we all just throw Burnley under the bus for a minute?
Yeah, just gonna say that Callum's started off terribly. Yeah,
no, well, to be honest, the surprise in the fact that I think everyone thought that they were going to do better.
It actually was a surprise.
Nobody said that. We all thought he was going to stay up, and he didn't. So technically,
it is mad. Though, do you know when you? I don't want to move on. No, I won't move on to the next one. But we'll come back to this in a minute.
But yeah, I think
you can move up, but talk about the next one. Really, no, as Callum said, no one had them barely going down, did we?
That's what I mean. No, it shows how much we were hoodwinked by like
Callum.
Callum and the company effect, like we all just thought Burnley going to be like bossier, and they just weren't.
I think they were. My opinion on Burnley is that they were great in the championship.
Just cut that one out.
They carried on their style, but I just don't think they had Premier League level players to play that style of football. I think had they decided in like the November, we just need to go back to basics here and just play the old Burnley way and play for draws and that. And keep us all at the back. I think he might have stayed up. But to be fair to company, which, I don't know, he stood by his philosophy, didn't he? And he carried on playing the way he was wanting them to play, but it just didn't work. But like, when they came to Goodison the other week, he passed us off the park at times.
In the League Cup as well.
Great, but
they had that spell where Goodison, obviously, they gifted us a goal in a 1-0 win. And then I think the week later, they played Brighton. And the goalie let the same goalie let one under his foot to cost him a draw, and that was like 4 points. Yeah. And if they've had them 4 points, and obviously there was a lot of time left in the Everton game, they'd have actually been, I think, level on points with Forest. So that it was close, but I think they were just they actually spent the most money out of all of them, like coming up as well. So they won the league, spent the most money, and I think were very, very disappointing.
Yeah,
Callum loses again then.
And Bob's a decent shout with Everton again, to be fair. What we didn't know at the time was Bob was going to use Everton in every single one of his answers for the rest of the podcast season. So
that is one thing that shouldn't have been a surprise. So.
Yeah, that wasn't a surprise. Yeah, well, I was being going from.
I did some stats, and Ange improved Tottenham's position in the league, and he improved his points percentage by 10%. So I'm taking that one. I think point to me. I've got a first and a second so far.
And then, yeah, well, at the bottom of the table, as we mentioned there, Burnley, we're not in anyone's relegation. Three. I myself went with Luton, Sheffield United and Bournemouth. I think Luton and Sheffield United were in everyone's. And then we all kind of picked the third. Wolves were in. Yes, Ron?
All I'm going to say is I'm the only one that had Sheffield United bottom.
Was that in any order, was it?
In any order?
They were the order you gave me at the time.
Nah, I don't think so.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah, that's convenient, isn't it?
You had Callum.
Why is Sheffield United at the top then? Why is Sheffield United at the top on yours?
I didn't like bottom three. I've gone in the opposite order.
So Sheffield, that's convenient.
Oh, yeah.
nah, I'm not having that one.
Top four as well.
Yeah.
He's made you look a right knob.
Yeah, we'll see about that later.
Me and Bob having Wolves is here, not our finest moments. I think we'll obviously have a decent season.
I had Wolves as well.
Yes, you had Wolves.
You had West Ham in your original, Callum.
I had Bournemouth in the actual one though. So
that's a weird shout than Wolves. Actually, when you think about it, they got more points than Wolves, didn't they?
Yep.
It's not such a thing as weird shouts. It was just there.
It was a worse shout than it absolutely is.
So that's nil for three, Callum.
And you don't also...
should we move on to player to watch then? Because this is the best.
Bob really picked out a special one here. I knew I should have went Erling Haaland.
Who was your player to watch, Callum?
I am with Eddie and Kevin, because you started brilliantly. It was the Tottenham effect. It was like you all with Tottenham. Started brilliantly, then kind of faded off. But, you know, the lad will come good.
I mean, I could have picked.
He's 32 now, isn't he, Eddie Nketiah? He's been around forever.
I think he's only about 20, 23, 24. I could have picked the player.
Is he still eligible for me to pick him young player of the season, Eddie Nketiah, just for later? Or?
Well, I have, so fingers crossed. Bob, do you want to tell us about your player to watch that we've never heard of before?
As I said on the group message, it's better to go for an obvious one and a World Cup winner than go for a stupid
wasn't
one.
Obvious one was obvious. I just don't think that was the question.
I know, yeah, but you're saying that as if, oh, I've picked the World Cup winner here. I have not.
You did?
No, I have, but I think just that pick, while a bit obvious, is better than your one. You know, for Eddie Nketiah, who I said before has had a similar impact at Arsenal to Franny Jeffers. You've based that on like being a student of the game. I've just gone for a lazy option.
It's because he's young and black. That's why Callum picked him.
No, it's because I thought it was possibly going to be the season that he might burst into the Arsenal team, being that he didn't have really a striker at that time, I don't think.
Started playing a midfielder there now instead, haven't he?
But if like, I mean, let's be honest, no one else's one to watch was any good.
No, to be fair, you are right. I think, just looking, Bob, you originally had Richarlison as well, so no. That looked all right at the start, but he sort of drifted, didn't he? But yeah, I think I'm going to defend Bob slightly. I think Alvarez, I could see that prediction because he, you know, in theory, he had a decent first season. It might have been his coming out season, might it? Didn't have to mean someone who you'd never heard before type thing. So, but yeah, I think I'm not. I pick Nunes because I love Nunes, and I'm going to pick him again next season. So,
donkey, not you, Sasha.
Well, Sean knows that's true anyway. What about yours, Sean? Evan Ferguson?
Yeah, again, it's probably similar to Carl's in a way, where like he had a bit of a breakthrough season last year, and then started the season really well. He scored like quite a few
hat-trick, didn't he? Scored a hat-trick against Newcastle. I think it was looking good.
And then he just seems to have been injured ever since. And like there was talk at the start of the season, he was going to be like £100 million striker, and then I literally haven't seen him or heard of him since.
Isn't he on like an unbelievable goal drought or something many minutes or something? It's mad.
Hardly plays, does he? Yeah. Whenever I see Brighton, he doesn't play.
He's been injured for a couple of months, hasn't he?
Yeah, sure.
Getting benched by Welbeck.
Yeah, baller.
That's how great he is.
I've got
Carl's next.
So yeah, are we all losers there then? Yeah.
I'll probably just edge it because I imagine mine's got the most goals. And again, I watched goal of the season last night, and he was in the top nine contenders for goal of the season, Nunes. So,
right.
Posh wins, but Cal definitely loses.
Cheers, Bob. Wasn't expecting that one. That's how I have done so well with these predictions. I wasn't expecting this goal.
If you were a betting man, Tosh, you'd be mincer by now.
Speaking of betting men, let's go to best sign and predictions.
Yeah. I think I won this one, to be fair.
Yeah, you didn't pick an obvious one for that one.
Between obvious one was the best sign, innit?
Rice?
Nah. Yeah. Well, the best sign.
I mean, I think he probably is the best signing, but it is so obvious, Carl. Like, you can't take any credit for that.
Well, no one else had it.
Isn't he second most expensive player ever?
Yeah, it's best signing. That wasn't the question. Best signing, really. Half a pound, best signing.
Is that all you have to do? Just keep saying, yeah, best signing.
That's what he was. So
you're just going against your criticism of me picking Julian Alvarez then, really, aren't you?
No, because I just think that...
Oh, you've said no, so right.
Best signing. That just was the best signing.
Yeah. I'll just keep saying best signing, and you'll win this one.
Oh, no. Well, it's worked for Tosh for the first four categories, to be honest. So I just go with it. If I give myself a point, it's fine. But I think mine's Rice and then McAllister, I think, are good. Rice is the biggest flop, is
Bob being Bob, innit?
Yeah, that's just me really hating Declan Rice. That's why I picked it. Didn't base it on his obviously supreme footballing ability. I just think he's a prick.
I think Bob might have thought it was best at a roast dinner. That's what he's gone for here. Not true. Best signing.
I think my best sign's a bit null and void, so I'm not going to take any slack for that one because he could have been. That's he scored on his debut.
No, I defended you
on Twitter the other day, Tosh.
What's that? No.
I defended you on Twitter the other day.
Why?
Someone was laughing at the Tonali shout, and I was like, we'll never know what could have been.
Well, you'll see next year. He's me player to watch for next year.
If he hasn't played all season, he's the worst signing.
How was I supposed to know? As if I'd done my background checks to see if he had a gambling addiction.
Should that?
Not something to joke about, Bob. Due diligence. So, yeah.
I think
when Sean's the fun stops. Yeah. Put that on the thing, Sean.
Put that on, yeah. Make that pop up.
When the fun stop.
Okay, yeah.
I think Sean shout of Sob's Lion have it for the first 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I think look quite good.
Yeah.
But then, yeah. Probably could
Sean also, I'm just looking
for them the other way around.
Sean also had in the originals where signing to Nali, so maybe you saw it coming, Sean.
I know. I remember that. Unless, then he had a blind the first game, and I was like, all right.
Sean, did you know for that one, the best sign of Big Flop, did you flip them one round as well?
Yeah. When, yeah.
Is that actually the wrong order? Yeah. Okay, got you.
Well, I'm just going to say my worst signing. I had to change this one. This one I shouldn't have changed, but I had Anana, the goalkeeper, and I think that's a pretty good shout.
I think Sanchez is quite a good shout, to be honest.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I went Anana because I liked the look of him. I thought he was exciting. But did you see that goal Palace scored? Did you see when Palace beat them 4-0? The shot goes straight down the middle and he gets absolutely nowhere near it. He gets nowhere near it. He's terrible. But yeah, that's Sanchez. He's also been dropped by them, hasn't he? So that was just based off that one game, I think, that I've seen where he just looked all over the place. But yeah, I don't think I can take the win for that one. Well, I suppose Timber's a symbol. Oh, no, you changed from Timber, didn't you, Sean? I'm looking at the old ones here because they suit me best. Yeah.
I think we'd have to give it to... Well, no, we can't, because I was going to say you'd give best signing to Callum, but then McAllister's definitely not the biggest flop.
I think he was a bit of a what it was. I think he's been a bit of a flop him, to be honest. Yeah, I think he's been nowhere near as good as he wants. He didn't do anything. He scored a few goals after January. Before January, he's anonymous. And then when he's saying that he's been anonymous,
he played the wrong position for the first half of the season, didn't he?
Give away a few important goals, a few mistakes. I think I said at the time, I just didn't think he was I don't think he was the player that you were hoping to get. I just didn't seem like that Liverpool kind of player. I don't think he was. I think he was part of the problem of why they just maybe weren't the same and their midfield wasn't the same. Liverpool's midfield this season has been the weakest part of their team, I think. And I just think he was part of that, I think. So, yeah, that was my kind of...
Give Callum the edge on that one,
then. Thanks, Tosh. Very kind of you. So we'll go from that onto first manager to be sacked, which, none of us done too well on, really.
I'm having my original one.
Which is nice to see managers not getting sacked, though, lads.
True.
I'm just pointing out, did I end up with Dyche? I think that was very reactionary after the bad Everton start. I originally had Steve Cooper, who I think was second manager to go. And I think that was what I was saying. I think not many Forest fans would have got rid of him, but I think the owner's a bit of a mad cat, and he did prove out to be a bit of a mad cat. So, but yeah, I think a couple had Moyes, didn't he? And I suppose Moyes is gone.
Yeah.
So yeah,
are they going for last manager to be sacked?
Better than no manager to be sacked, like
to be fair, I went...
No, I'm defending you there, Sean.
I went Rob Edwards, me. It was really looking like that.
Bad shout.
Yeah, universally loved.
No, after a couple of months when he hadn't won, I was thinking that they were just going to be like owners do, they get into the Premier League, think we just need to change this day quick. But then he had that turnaround, then he had fair play to him. I'm not too sure.
Were you just picking most handsome manager, Cal?
Yeah, he's the Premier League's heartthrob.
Steve Cooper or?
looks like he's been in a headlock.
Sean wins that one by default, really.
No, I have my original Steve Cooper. I was pressured into change. I was really happy with all of my predictions, and someone said you've got to change them because Sean lost the episode. So Sean get minus points for that, to be fair. If we hadn't lost that episode, that'd look like a genius now.
That's going to show you, Tosh, based on how you've acted the last half hour, you wouldn't.
I bet Tonali would have come good as well. Tonali would be player of the season if Sean hadn't deleted that episode.
So we had some highs and lows from our predictions. A few had some clever shouts, a few not so clever shouts. We'll move from there onto our review of the season, where we will pick our best player, best young player, best newcomer, biggest overachievers, and biggest underachievers. So I think if we go, just pick one by one for each category and have a discussion on them. So, Sean, who has been your best player of the season?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. I feel like at the start of the season, I was proper invested. I feel like my intake of football has been lessened almost. But I don't think you can argue with the consensus that Phil Foden has been player of the season, particularly based on the fact that obviously he was going to be the man to kind of send them on the way to the title yesterday. So from what I've seen, I think I'd go Phil Foden. Not that that's particularly groundbreaking.
Yeah, anyone else go Phil Foden or anyone else have different shouts?
I have not gone.
Bob?
If I was being sensible, I'd agree with Sean completely and say Phil Foden, but I haven't been sensible.
Baines?
Similarly to what Sean was saying, I haven't watched all that much football really, so I'm basing that on who I've seen the most. So I said Jared Brandtley.
We move swiftly on from that one. I did say Phil Foden as well. I agreed. I think Phil Foden was. Yeah, I don't. City haven't won the league. I don't think they haven't had him this season. I think he was just unbelievable. The goals he scored. Did he score two or three hat tricks possibly as well? He's just been a different level of play this year, and especially without De Bruyne, I think he stepped up. So yeah, I went to him. Tosh, who did you go?
I went with Odegaard. I think it's hard to argue that the effect Foden had, and obviously winning the league sort of justifies the argument. I think I just went for a player who I've just loved watching. Every time I watched him, he's brilliant. And I think when he was made captain for the start of last season, I couldn't really see why that was. He just doesn't strike as a captain type, but the way that he does, you can tell he leads from the front, he demands the ball. I think he's like, in terms of like the passes he puts through, like he's like reminds me of Ertzl and things like that, but he's got more discipline to his game than Ertzl, and I think he's my favourite player to watch in the league. And I think, yeah, I think I went with him. I think it was hard, and I think him and Foden was obviously a bit like the one he's won the award, but I think if Arsenal would have won the league, I know they didn't, but I think Odegaard would have been the player of the year for me, and I think I just picked someone I enjoyed watching.
Good shout. Good shout. He's been unbelievable as he this season. To be fair, every time you seem to have watched Arsenal on the telly, he usually got man of the match. Unbelievable. And I do think you're right with that kind of captaincy thing. He is obviously he's not like a aggressive shouty kind of captain. He's like a lead by example. Give me the ball, I'll take it wherever. And you know, follow me kind of thing. So yeah, fairly good shout. Good stuff. Good. Best young player, Bob, do you want to start off with best young player?
I've gone for Jared Brandtley again.
All right, this
is good. I think there's more of a case for him to be best young player.
Nah, yeah, go on, you can elaborate on that one.
I think without the partnership of him and Tarkowski, I think we would have gone down. I think our season dramatically changed when Dyche eventually decided that Jared Brandtley was an infinitely better footballer than Michael Keane. Settling on that partnership really did save us, I think. So he just doesn't play like a player of his age. He's braced on the ball, can't really beat him in the air. I just think he's been a revelation this year.
Obviously, he wasn't nominated in the six players picked by the Premier League, Bob.
Yeah. Well, what you'd expect, it's a corrupt corporation.
Anyone else go for Brandtley?
No, I don't think
anyone else go for Brandtley to do the double, or?
Tosh, who did you go for?
I've sort of struggled because I was trying not to go the obvious. I sort of assumed everyone would go Cole Palmer. So I was trying to sort of not go that. I think if I'm picking, I think it's hard not to pick Cole Palmer.
Got no chin, though.
Yeah, but unbelievable player, unbelievable season. I think, like, you obviously, whenever you'd seen clips of the City, you sort of knew there was something there. But then when they let him go, you think, oh, maybe they haven't. But I haven't believed. I know he scored a lot of penalties, but just as, again, as similar to Odegaard, some of the pass he plays and stuff like that, So yeah, I think I feel like it's too obvious. I've tried to maybe not go obvious with some of the other ones, but I think the other ones I was trying to think sort of a bit outside the box, and I thought like not first one was Anthony Gordon. It's not particularly outside the box, but again, I think he's been unbelievable. Sean's mate Anthony Gordon, I should have said.
Right.
I think yeah, as I think we said it earlier on in the season when we were talking about them, I said like every time you watch Newcastle, he's their best player by a mile, and yeah. I think. And then the other one I had was also Newcastle, the 17, that Lewis Miley. I think he had an unbelievable first half season playing the Champions League. Good. 17, you know, I think. But again, I couldn't justify making him the young player of the year, but just I remember seeing him even at Goodison, he was very, very good first half. So, yeah, I think I probably will just have to go Palmer, but an honourable mention to Anthony Gordon.
Shit out.
Fair enough. Good shout. Good shout. Sean?
Yeah, I went Palmer.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it is the obvious one, but for good reason, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I was thinking Palmer, to be honest. I think Palmer could have been in with the shelf for the best player as well, to be honest.
Yeah.
I do think with the nominations for the young player of the league part, I think there needs to be the age gap needs to be lower, I think. For Palmer, 22, 23, I don't think he's like a young player in the Premier League anymore.
Especially if it is like Foden, he's made hundreds of appearances. Yeah. It might be like a cut-off number of appearances or something.
Or like
that.
Even like that Isaac, I didn't even know he was young because like he signed up like 60 million, he was nominated. Like it should be like basically if you consider them young.
Yeah, but like, I went probably out of the box as well, to be honest, trying to give to someone who I think is young enough. I went with Kobbie Mainoo. I think what he's done to break through into that United team and
be probably a United team.
Well, no, I think coming through as an 18-year-old and doing what he did, and sort of he was probably one of the best players we've seen, scored a few important goals. And then I remember, we had the podcast with Jamie Hutchinson, wasn't it, just after that United game?
Yeah.
And we were saying, that Mainoo was the best player on the pitch by a mile. He was unbelievable. So I just think coming through like such a chaotic United team that aren't playing well as an 18-year-old centre midfielder and doing what he'd done, I think was... Yeah, pretty unbelievable. Like, and obviously getting his England debut, skipping the under-21s and stuff. I thought obviously you've got Cole Palmer. That's like a bit off shout, but just in terms of like young, I think. Yeah, my shout was Kobbie Mainoo.
That's a good shout, Carl. I think. Yeah, I think nothing you said there, I disagree with.
Yeah, I agree with Carl as well. Really, even though it is definitely brand place.
So we'll go from best young player to the best newcomer into the Premier League. Does anyone want to start us off with the best newcomer?
Does Branthwaite count because we got it? He played for PSV last year.
I did think that, but he hasn't got the hat trick this time, unfortunately. And he'll be gutted.
I'll jump in. I don't know. Do people go like players or managers? Admittedly, because this was the one I forgot about, so that's come up this with a bit on the spot. I think person that sort of first came to me head was Iraola at Bournemouth.
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember
he started terribly, didn't he?
Yeah, they had a really bad start, and a lot of people were saying, like Gavin said, I remember before the season, I listened to The Guardian, Sid Lowe talking about him and saying like the teams he managed, I think it might have been like Rayo in Spain, and they said he'll be a really sort of fun manager. He's got a system, he's got a style of play, and that Bournemouth will be a really good sign to watch. And he spent a bit of money and a lot of attacking players. He's fast and sort of exciting players. And yeah, I think that the change they've had and the number of points they've got, considering like last year, everyone had them as certainties to go down. And Gary O'Neill did a brilliant job keeping them up to then develop them and say, you know, they were safe by like February, weren't they? Probably even earlier, I think, comfortably good and doing it in a good style of play. And I think, we'll mention, because we're not really going to do a coach of the year, but like a lot of great Basque managers, you know, the Basque manager Emery, Arteta, Alonso, all from the Basque region, must be something there at the moment. But I think Iraola was my pick.
Something in the water.
I'm gonna set the bat to myself up. Thank you. Yeah. I'll pay you later.
Might write a good book about it.
I think that's a good shout. To be fair, I think Carragher said him. His best newcomer. On Monday Night Football.
That was his prediction at the start of the year, Was his prediction that Carragher?
Yeah. So, yeah, he said it.
I reckon he'd read the same Sid Lowe article, to be honest with you, because I reckon Carragher knew nothing about him.
Bob, who did you go with?
I can't really justify this at all, other than it's a player that I've really enjoyed watching just because he's so chaotic and he immediately endeared himself to me upon signing for Everton, so I've not for Beto. Mainly because you've all slagged him off all season. I really like him for no good reason.
Best newcomer, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought you said Beto newcomer.
I like Beto.
Yeah, I've got a really good. I've got a soft spot for him, so I can't justify it for any footballing reason other than he seems like a nice fella. He's got a nice smile, so that's why I've picked him.
Yeah, fair enough.
One of the great moments of the season was his goal against, was it Newcastle?
Correct.
Yeah, he nearly missed control. That was 10 times.
Didn't matter. It was in the back of the net.
It was in the back of the net.
Exactly, and it was a great finish.
It was a good finish. Right. I always got the impression he could finish as well, but I feel like there's something there. I actually think he won't be Arrows next year, but I'd like to see him have a second season.
Yeah, I think.
I spent most of the season arguing that he wouldn't go 23 games without scoring, so I'll just make that point again.
Don't we owe for him this summer, don't we, 30 million? So yeah, I won't be surprised if he goes this year to just try and recoup the money from that or whatever. Fair enough. Good shout, Bob, I think. Sean?
So for my newcomer, I was torn between Mohamed Kudus and Callum's new girlfriend.
Who did you go with?
She's burst onto the scene fairly late on. Yeah, I don't know. I think she's got potential. She's a bit of a worldie. So I think I'm going to go with Callum's girlfriend.
Thanks, Sean. Right, I'll have to pick someone else then. I did actually have the, one of the same shouts as you, Sean. My kind of second shout was Mohamed Kudus. That goal against, who was it, in Europa League, where he picks up in like his own half. He picks up his own half, takes on like the whole team, and then slots it, and then does that like finish where he sits on the ball boy seat. It was a great goal. That little clip against City kind of went viral from yesterday. Was also very, very good. And I just think he just seems an exciting player. He seems one of those that might get a big move this transfer window, or maybe in the next. But I did go for someone who kind of same might get a very, very late call up into the England team, but I doubt that had happened. Wharton from Crystal Palace, I'll go for.
I had them written down as well.
Yeah, I think I remember watching him for Blackburn on the last, I think it was maybe the last game of the season, last season or second to last in Snowball. I think he maybe scored that day, but he looked really good, like quite a leggy central midfielder. I actually thought when they played us at Goodison, he didn't look too great, but he kind of worked his way into the game. I just think he's a good player. He's a good centre mid who seems to read the game well. He seems to be in the right place at the right time. Good tackler and sort of gets the ball and gives it quite quickly and quite technically good. So, yeah, I think it'll be interesting, especially with how Palace are playing and how Palace might, progress next year possibly. And what he will do there. So yeah, I think best newcomer, Wharton, with a shout out to Mohamed Kudus as well. Shall we move on to biggest overachievers then? I think we've possibly all gone with the same one here. I'll start off with this one. I went with Aston Villa. Probably quite a
sort
of run of the mill shout. No one was expecting it apart from Bob and maybe Unai Emery.
You know what? I disagree. I honestly feel like this time last year, everyone was talking about how Villa could do something, especially when I know maybe not to this extent, but like some of the players they bought in, everyone was going, you know what, Villa be boss this season.
Yeah, I still think it's a massive overachievement that for Villa to finish fourth. It's a big overachievement.
But it also isn't when you think, like, we all had United in the top four and they've been absolute garbage. Like, I'm not saying Villa haven't been great, but I don't think, like, I think if you look at, like, we all had Wolves in the bottom three, or three of us did. they've had a great season. Do you know what I mean? Bournemouth had a boss season. I just think...
Yeah, well, I don't know. Is Wolves finishing? Where did Wolves finish?
Yeah, but it's all relative.
14th.
It's still like...
Achievements for Wolves.
But yeah, but where did Aston Villa finish last season? Sixth.
Sixth or seventh, yeah.
But like, so they've been in the Conference League, so yeah, was it sixth? But then, so then you think, I don't know. Obviously, it has been a good season for them, but I don't know. I don't think it's the big shock everyone's making out it is. It's really not. All season, it hasn't
I'm
been
not
a
sure
big shock.
I'm not sure I think a massive drop, but I just think that's just an overachievement that, like, you know, to break into that top four like that against the, you know, the teams that you're battling for that top four. I just think that's a big you're like Newcastle. Newcastle couldn't kind of repeat it in that, and Newcastle kind of flopped and went backward. I think that's a for what the team he had them wanted to do, and I just think that's especially playing that European football as well.
Exactly,
you know, playing the Thursday Sundays. I just think teams usually falter with that. I just think that's a big overachievement.
You've seen Newcastle, as you say, Callum break down, didn't they? I know they had injuries, but that's probably a factor of not being able to cope. And mm-hmm. whatever you say about Villa and spending money, there's a lot of players there who were playing when they were in the in the Championship, and the relegation, John McGinn, Konsa, Watkins, and people like that.
Yeah.
I think it's an unbelievable overachievement. I think you say, like, Sean, he was sixth or seventh, but that is the difference, isn't it? The sixth, we were, you know, for Moises last few years, fifth, sixth, and we just couldn't break into that four. For Villa to finish above, you know, Chelsea, Tottenham, even Newcastle with all the money they spend, I think it's, yeah, I did have Villa as well. I struggled with that one, to be honest. I couldn't really think. I know what you're saying with Sean, in terms of a lot of people had Wolves to go down. Gary O'Neill's done a great job, but there's not, as we've seen this year, there's not a massive difference between finishing 17th and 13th. So I would agree with Callum with Aston Villa. I think that's a remarkable achievement. And I was about to say for Camden to get to a European semi final at the same time, playing Thursday Sunday, and still do that when, you know, you think they played against Tottenham. Tottenham had no European footballer, and again broke down a lot worse than Villa. So yeah, they would be my shout too.
Bob,
jumping on the bandwagon, the pair of you.
Who did you go?
I went for at the quadruple. I've gone for Everton because, myself included, as we've been fucked over all season by the Premier League, I was convinced we were going down quite a long time ago. We went months without winning. Calvert-Lewin went 20 odd games without scoring a goal. Then, in a bit of a blur, we went on that great run towards the end of the season and found ourselves safe with games to spare. We've improved on the points from last season, and I think just in the circumstances with having to sell our best players year on year, the points deductions, the fans being feral towards the board, everything that's gone on, I think for us to finish where we are is quite the overachievement.
I think it's a good shout. And again, I was looking at, like, as I mentioned it before, about like points improvements and stuff like that. Like, Everton got like 36 points last year and got 12 more this year. If you take out the thing, you know, that's like getting a third more points than what you did last year. I think, I know the league was a worse standard and you had three worse teams, but I still think, I agree with Bob. I thought we were going to be really struggling. I certainly didn't think we'd be safe with like three games to go. When you take 8 points off the total. And again, reality is, without them points, we'd finish level on points with Brighton, you know.
11th or 12th or something like that.
Yeah. I don't think it's a ridiculous shout.
Yeah, I think that's it.
I was going to say, that was me sensible one. Other than Brantwaite.
Yeah,
but you know, a while to come up with it as well, I think.
Dyche has overachieved in that job, given what was handed to him, wasn't he? So,
that's over.
Yeah.
Sean.
I mean, I went Wolves personally, just because I had such low expectations. Because I remember when we recorded that first episode.
Which first episode?
The actual one that vanished. I think like that day or the day before or something, Lopetegui left.
He was on the verge. I think everyone was talking. He was leaving right on the doorstep of the season.
And it was just like, I just felt like at the time, he just looked set to go down. He looked awful. They'd sold quite a few players as well.
Yeah.
And then I just think Then Gary O'Neill then got sacked by Bournemouth, or he'd already been sacked, maybe. Yeah, he must have been. Yeah, and he's just done a really good job. So I had Wolves. Equally, he could have had, like, Bournemouth. I'm looking more at that end of the table, but I understand your point about Villa. It's just, for me, the fact that Bob had them in the top four means, like, when he said that, even though we were like, come on.
When all the experts are calling for it.
It wasn't ridiculous to the point where we were like, no chance. Do you know what I mean? That was people were still talking about that as an outside chance that Villa would get top four.
But I did get laughed at when I said that.
I think you got laughed at the second time after they'd just been trounced by Newcastle.
Still.
Yeah, fair play to you, Bob.
I think you're possibly right, John, in that probably Wolves have overachieved in kind of, as you say, the hand that was dealt to them and sort of not starting very well and stuff, and the manager going, they have overachieved, just whether it was the biggest overachievement.
Yeah, yeah.
The other teams, I think they probably have overachieved. But yeah, I think, yeah, I personally would just think, like, I don't know, a team finishing 13th. To be honest, I mean, sounds stupid, but again, another one in that kind of sense, you know, we all thought Luton were going to just like be like, have no hope in some of the performances they put in and some of the games they had. They kind of overachieved in a sense, I think, to get that many points. I thought that there was a time there, like, these aren't going to get more than like double figures.
I said after they beat us early on that they wouldn't win again all season, and
yeah, that's what I mean. So I think, you know, if they
you want to go to sin again,
yeah,
in the league,
like an overachiever almost. But yeah, I think all those shouts are fairly good.
Yeah, I was gonna say I was thinking Luton as well. I think still end up with like a remarkably low total, didn't it, for like the what you could have stayed up with. But I think, you know, it's just, yeah, considering they like. The way, as we say, Burnley, you got 100 points in the championship, and like the way they did that, and they were pretty much down a long time. Luton was still, and theoretically, still in on the last day, weren't they? I know they weren't, but the week before they were.
It would have been so good if that like 12 goal swing that had happened and Notts Forest would have gone down.
Would have been able to say Notts Forest next season, though, Bob.
True.
So we'll go from the biggest overachievers to biggest underachievers. Tosh, do you want to start out with your shout for this?
Yeah, I was between two, really. Again, a bit like what Sean's saying about trying to pick something different. And I think it's hard when you're down there to sort of that down the bottom of the table to say someone's underachieved. Maybe Burnley, I suppose. But I was just torn between two very big clubs, Manchester United and Chelsea. I think Chelsea's sort of made worse by the fact that you see what they've done in the last few weeks, where they've sort of turned it on and look like a good side. But to spend within the last 18 months nearly £1 billion and to be as bad as they are, like, I really dislike them. I actually think Pochettino's done a great job, because again, I think in terms of a point turnaround, I think Chelsea might have had the biggest points increase from one season to another this year, which is quite remarkable. I think I did have that stat just up. Chelsea got 19 more points this season than they did last season, which was no one better at that. So I think they've actually done a decent end. But I think for what they've done and what they've spent, when you talk about like other teams and recruitment and things like that. But I've spoken about Chelsea matching on Man United, who I think just, yeah, absolutely dreadful. And again, I think...
Is it the lowest Premier League finish for them?
I think so, yeah. Lowest Premier League finish, again, on that same total of 15 points less than where they are. I think they spent a lot of money again. They've got we seem to talk about United all the time, but I think like some of the results they have, every time you see like a decent performance, you think, oh, that might be it. The next, they make sure they follow the next one up with a terrible one. And for someone who, I don't mind United, and always thinking of sort of always wants United to do all right, I think they're dreadful. And I think, you know, the manager's pretty dreadful. They've got no real style of play. And you see like, when we talk about what Crystal Palace earlier and the way they've sort of, like, he's come in and within like a month, they look like a completely different side. And you think Ten Hag's been there 2 years now and they look worse.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think with this kind of shout for United being the biggest underachievers, I think we've got to think like, are we thinking like of United as like the club, and that's a big underachievement for the club, or like, you know, did they finish where they deserve kind of thing? The management rubs last year, last season. It's like, is that United level? Now, if you know what I mean, I think we think of them still as like this big massive club that should be right up there. But is it a bit like
they were third?
That is kind of just there. Yeah, level now.
They were third last year. And again, he went out the Champions League in a very easy group first. But I know what you're saying, Colin, you are right. You know,
no, like,
I know exactly what you're saying, yeah.
It's a sensible point, but I think on paper they are better than...
It's the feeling that you just think that United shouldn't be there. But it's a bit like, well, did he really deserve to be any higher? Because as you say...
I also think that's why most of us put them in the top four, though, didn't we? Just because... You just think they should be. You just thought they were going to be there, because they just always generally are.
You judge on what you can with that regard, don't you? See, you know, they finished third last year. They looked like they were improving. They won a cup. You think he's in his second year. That, like, your logic would suggest they were going to be in it. And they say, like, just nowhere near. I think they were lucky to finish as high as they were. Like, you watch them. And I said that about when we played Chelsea. I actually don't think they're better than ever.
Yeah, there was that thing. I mean, I think towards the end of the season there, those kind of teams from probably fourth to eighth, ninth, no one really put a run together other than Chelsea, really. That's why Chelsea kind of leapfrogged everyone, but no one kind of like got any real momentum together. Like Tottenham should have probably got in the top four, really, but they just kept on losing. So, I think it's a fair shout. Sean, who'd you go?
I obviously considered United more than Chelsea, I'd say, but I also threw Brighton in. Just because you think of where they were last season, they had like De Zerbi, who was tipped to be like one of the best young managers in Europe. And now, where did he finish? Like 13th or something? No, 12th, something like that.
11th or 12th.
11th, 12th. They've got no manager now. I don't know. It just seems like a pretty dire situation compared to last season and how they were being spoken about. So I just think we all expected probably a bit more from them this year.
I like that shout.
That's who I've gone, Brighton.
I went Brighton as well.
I said it was a good shout. Shameless.
I've gone for Brighton as well.
Everton, Jimmy Moore. I went Brighton as well. I just think, did they get to Europe?
Last year.
I think, it was just, they were going, you almost thought that they might have been that team to kind of take that next step over the next couple of years. The way, like, obviously the model that they have and the recruitment and everything else, and they've always just been that kind of exciting team. And De Zerbi was this kind of magician of a manager who was going off kind of like he was going to break the mold. But I just think they've been very, very inconsistent. They look great sometimes, but on another week, they look like they should get battered 5-0.
Zerbi switched off, didn't he? You can tell all he did was moan at the end, he was just moaning about the owner.
So something obviously happened. I think in terms of their drop off. That is a big underachievement for probably what they thought they were going to do and probably what their aims were for this. Yeah, I think they're biggest underachievers.
There you are, Carl. Your Wi-Fi is shocking today.
He's froze there. He's a picture.
Oh, he hasn't. He's moving.
He's moved now.
He's still smart. I'll do it again.
Yeah. You were moving then, Carl, but we couldn't hear you.
Of me?
Yeah, your internet is shocking.
Right, okay.
I wasn't shouting at you.
What do we need to say? What bit do we need to say? Bob, finish us off.
Do it all again. We couldn't hear you the whole time.
So, welcome to this week's episode. So do I need to talk Brighton again? The Zerbi?
No.
We did it. We did hear everything.
I just think we need to know who Bob.
Okay, Bob, do you want to finish us off then with our final point of the season review?
So I've gone for a team we're all very fond of, a team that were up until fairly recently going for the quadruple. There was quite a lot of the YouTube tele-clapping crowd saying they were definitely going to win the quadruple as a perfect send-off for their beloved manager who's recently passed away. I'm going for Liverpool. Their season did really fizzle out completely, really. Helped along the way by the mighty Toffees. So the quadruple ended up just being the League Cup. And I say just, if we were to win the League Cup, I'd be at the bottom of the Mersey by now. So as with everything, it's all relative. But I think, considering all they were going up for and the way the fairy tale was supposed to have been written, that Klopp was going to have such a great send-off trophy-wise. I think the way their season has ended, it is a bit of an underachievement.
Yeah, I think it's a it's a fair enough shout, isn't it? It was like 3 months ago, it was like, they're going to take it all. And then in the space of 2 weeks, everything just collapsed. It's an interesting shout. I'm not sure everyone will love it. I think it's a fair enough shout.
Again, like there was, as we said, I think there was one point, they were 5 points ahead of City, maybe with a game land, and they finished 9 behind. It's a bit of a collapse, but they were not. I think most people, we were scared that they were going to win it. But I think when you used to watch Liverpool, I actually didn't watch Liverpool where they didn't go like 1-0 behind and just win last minute. They were very much fighting to stay in that title race. So I think it's a bit harsh as an underachiever, but from the point you make, Bob, is in where they were, they probably feel, from when Klopp announced, they probably do feel it was an underachievement because they could have, the Europa League, they were favourites for, weren't they? But I think... obviously, losing the league at Goodison Park was a bit of a blow for them. So,
yeah,
I think not a bad shout.
Yeah, fair enough, guys. I think our season review was fairly successful there. Some good shouts, some out of the box thinking. So, yeah, we hope you enjoyed that segment. And we'll go from us reviewing the season to the best season ends in this week's Maroon 5. Tosh, you want to take it away?